Hi, this is Steve Weinberger, CEO of the Clearwater Jazz Holiday Foundation, and you are listening to the Young Lions Jazz Master Virtual Sessions podcast brought to you by our friends at Marine Max Clearwater. This episode was recorded back on January 25th, 2021, where we invited Mark Feinman, drummer, educator, member of the popular Tampa Bay area trio La Lucha, back to the Young Lions Jazz Master Virtual Sessions to do one of our What I Love About series on drummer Terry Lynn Carrington. We also have an episode sponsor for this session, Susan Decker Ross. Susan is a longtime member of Clearwater Jazz Holiday Foundation's board of directors, and for years, her company, Decker Ross Interiors, has been jazzing up the festival VIP area and backstage bistro to help create that one-of-a-kind, exciting feel that we all love. She is amazing at what she does, and we are so thankful she also has a big heart for Clearwater Jazz Holiday and Clearwater Jazz Holiday education and outreach. Thank you, Susan Decker Ross. To become an episode sponsor and support Clearwater Jazz Holiday Foundation, go to the studio at clearwaterjazz.com/education and then scroll down to Adopt a Session. Thank you for watching and listening to these sessions, and I hope everyone enjoys this episode, What I Love About Terry Lynn Carrington, with Mark Feinman.
Clearwater Jazz Holiday.
Welcome back, everybody. Clearwater Jazz Holidays, Young Lions Jazz Master Virtual Sessions. Mark Feinman, happy Monday to you.
Hi, good to see you. Happy Monday.
What I Love About Terry Lynn Carrington is Mark's topic today, continuation of our What I Love About series. Mark's already done a bunch. They're awesome. They're up in the studio. Papa Joe Jones, Max Roach, Elvin Jones, Ari Honeg, Art Blakey, and most recently, Allison Miller, which was a really, really great one. Please check those out. Thank you, Blue Water Wealth Management at Steward Partners and Duke Energy for helping to sponsor the studio resource of these growing videos and audio segments. Marine Max Clearwater for sponsoring the podcast. Young Lions Jazz Master Virtual Sessions podcast. Search it wherever you stream your podcast. Mark's been no stranger to Clearwater Jazz education and outreach. He's got a bunch of sessions up in the studio already. History of rhythm section and collaboration with his colleagues from La Lucha. The quarter note system, a rhythmic guide to creativity. Exploring triplets, comping, soloing, and coordination. Playing better with brushes. How, when, why, and where. And most recently, the What I Love About series. La Lucha is a Tampa Bay-based trio. Their music ventures into a wide variety of musical styles and offers a really fun mix of genres under the jazz umbrella. They have received countless accolades and have extensive national and international performance experience, including several plays at the Clearwater Jazz Holiday Music Festival and our more recent Wanderlust music series. Please visit laluchamusic.com for more information about the band, getting in touch with them, with Mark, and about their new albums. Mark is a drummer. He's a composer, an educator, inspired by individual human experiences and a diverse range of musical influences. He has extensive performance experience playing with many wonderful musicians. He was awarded the Emerging Artist Grant from Creative Pinellas, the Project Gen Yes residency to present a multimedia project raising awareness for Alzheimer's disease at the Studio 620, a Jazz on Edge 13 and 13 commission. He's also a drum set instructor at St. Petersburg College. Mark, welcome back to Young Lions Jazz Master Virtual Sessions, the Monday morning edition. The stage is all yours.
Thank you so much, Steve, and thank you to everyone at Clearwater Jazz Holiday Foundation and Young Lions Jazz Reach Out Outreach. I absolutely love this series. I love talking about music. I love talking to all ages, and I really enjoy working at the schools as well. So it's a pleasure to continue the What I Love About series. The first part of the series was kind of our innovators. We talked from the beginning of jazz, which was also the beginning of the drum set, really. And I'm really focusing on drum set. That's my main instrument. And the last few classes I've done, we've kind of talked about some of the modern innovators, but also some musicians that are beyond the drums. And what I mean by they're beyond the drums is that they are multi-instrumentalists, they're multi-band leader, co-leader, and they're activists as well in their community. So they're not only doing good for the jazz community and the music community, but they're outreaching to the world as a whole. And that is no exception for today, which is Miss Terry Lynn Carrington, who has performed on over 100 records. She's been a role model, an advocate for young women and men internationally through teaching and her touring career. She's recorded, on over 150 albums, in addition to her own records. Some of the musicians that she's performed with include Al Jarreau, Stan Getz, Woody Shaw, Clark Terry, Diana Krall, Cassandra Wilson, Diana Reeves, James Moody, The Yellow Jackets, Esperanza Spalding, James Brown, Whitney Houston, Prince, Sting, Joni Mitchell, Stevie Wonder, Herbie Hancock, and Wayne Shorter. Those are just a few. And we're going to see a few videos throughout her 40-year career. She has an honorary doctorate from the Berklee College of Music. She's from Massachusetts, and she still teaches there and is very involved. So I just wanted to give a kind of a brief overview, an exciting introduction to Terry Lynn Carrington. And we'll dive in. I'll share my screen, and we'll start this PowerPoint. Here we are. What I Love About Terry Lynn Carrington. I'll tell you up front that I had a few tech issues this morning with the videos, so we're hoping that they all work, and I may have to start or stop them or find the place where I am at. Okay, here's a quote from Ms. Carrington. "I've hinted at my concerns for the society and the community that I live in, but everything has been pointing in this direction. At some point, you have to figure out your purpose in life. There are a lot of drummers deemed great. For me, that's not as important as the legacy you leave behind." It's a really wonderful quote from liner notes from her newest album, which was released last year, a band that she put together called Social Science. There's a nice little outview we can talk about Miss Carrington. She was born in Massachusetts, August 4th, 1965. Very musical family. Father was a musician, her mother was a pianist, and her father was actually the president of the local nonprofit for music in the area. So he was, both her parents, but her father especially, being involved in the jazz community, was really well connected. Meaning she had access to a lot of musicians, and being in Massachusetts outside of Boston or nearby the major city, she had access to getting to see music and hearing and seeing music and being involved with a lot of musicians. And that's a really big part of being a part of a community, is having that community of musicians. And when they happen to be some of the most famous musicians in the world, anybody that comes through town, as we're seeing a lot in these classes, they're in a major city and musicians are coming through town, and these other drummers, musicians are getting to meet them or play with them or just somehow be involved when they end up in another city. You're creating your community. She started on the saxophone at age 5, and when she started losing her baby teeth, she said, your embouchure and her mouth structure was a lot different, and it was more difficult to perform. So she actually began the drums at around 7, And it wasn't too long, about 3 years, that she started playing professionally. She was getting paid to perform. Before then, she was actually going and showing up as a guest to play on somebody's gig. Her first professional engagement was with Terry Clark, the wonderful trumpet player, and it was Louis Belson's gig, the drummer Louis Belson, and she sat in as a special guest throughout the set. I can't imagine the feeling of what that would be. It's such a learning experience. But at age 11, she actually received her endorsements for cymbals and drums. She was endorsed by Zildjian, and I'm pretty sure Yamaha, but I would need to double check on that. I wrote there lots of experience. Again, like, if you want to be a swimmer, you have to swim a lot. If you want to be a drummer, you have to play a lot of music, listen to a lot of music, be surrounded by a lot of music. She received a full scholarship, or at least a major scholarship, to Berklee College of Music, which was in her backyard. And that is really like I've seen a lot, you know, getting to know Terry Lynn Carrington through the internet and through her recordings. She has a really big presence there at the school and is very involved. She did move to New York City after college, New York being kind of like the center of the jazz world, if that's what you want to be a part of. And again, in her generation, it wasn't just jazz. And we saw that a lot last week with Allison Miller, who's a contemporary and a little bit younger. It's that she grew up in this jazz world, loving jazz, and that was the springboard to other genres of music. Because, you know, if you're growing up in the late 60s, 70s, jazz is not the popular music on the radio. It's, you know, rock and roll, it's soul, it's funk, and getting into the 80s and 90s, the music is changing. The hip hop culture is growing then as well. And Terry Lynn Carrington was right there with it, very much involved musically across the board. And we're going to see that on some of the videos. So she did move to New York, actually by the request of, she got advice from wonderful drummer Jack DeJohnette, who played with many musicians, including Herbie and Keith Jarrett. And she met a lot of musicians there, tons of professional experience, and across the genres. She did move out to Los Angeles, and it was mainly because she started performing on late night shows. She was the house drummer for the Arsenio Hall show, and she was the for Quincy Jones's Vibe. Quincy Jones had a show called Vibe, and it was hosted by Sinbad, a really funny comedian. And so during this time, she was making contacts West Coast. This is where she started playing with Wayne Shorter and Herbie Hancock, who I wouldn't say they're West Coast, they're international, but Herbie is in California. And in her mid-20s, she started playing regularly with Herbie and Wayne Shorter. And that is heavy because, you know, you are put in that limelight of playing with the most famous musicians in the world of our centuries. And so many people are getting to hear and see her, and people are coming in and out of the band, and she's getting experience traveling the world. And she started getting nominations, you know, awards, including three. She has three Grammy awards, including the first woman to win Best Instrumental, Best Jazz Instrumental Album. She's the first woman to receive that. I saw a cool interview where she said she still has to pinch herself daily that is a real thing. And she's been on other records or her own records that have been nominated and received awards. And Grammys and other accolades. She is an NEA Jazz Master. She is a band leader and has many records under her own name. And she is an activist, and we'll see some of the things that she speaks for or against. And Let's dive into some videos. So this one's from 1997. It's with the wonderful singer Diana Reeves. And we'll hear a little bit. I'll fast forward to her solo so you can kind of see her playing time. She starts with brushes in the beginning, and then she kind of dives right in to a really beautiful open solo.
Love for sale. Love is precious, still unspoiled. Love that's only slightly soiled. Love for sale. Ooh. Who will buy? Who would like to sample my supply? Who's prepared to pay the price for a trip to paradise? Let the boys fight for love in a childish way. You see, I know every type of love better far than they. If you want the thrill of love, I've been through the mill of love. Oh, love, new love, every love. But true, feel to do loopy, but to bendy, that do less little. True, do dead and dead and love. If you want to try,
I'm gonna skip forward. I hate to stop it, but we have so much more music to go through, but just wanted to get an idea for just the virtuosity that she performs with. The finesse is really, really amazing. Her touch is incredible. All right, as an influencer, composer, band leader, activist, educator, we're seeing this across the board for all of the musicians that I've talked about in all these series. And I would say, as an activist, she stands out very strong in what she speaks for and stands for. And she took part of the TEDx Youth at Beacon Street in Boston. And she's playing with a few students from Berkeley here, where she did her TED Talk. And she wrote a poem called I Am the Drums. And they kind of improvise over this poem. And I'd like to play some of it for you.
Called I Am. And when presented, creativity.
I'm just going to skip forward to it.
Type or chew. Rhythm dominates nearly everything we do. Even good morning has a cadence that we all respond to. And just the act of breathing ignites the drummer inside of me. The drums aren't just an instrument, but a necessary tool. They live within us, so let them be heard, let them be used. For tolerance, respect, sharing, these too are a drum thing. Polyrhythmic behavior in action. I reinterpret the word drum to remind me of what I need to practice. Rhythm can change poison into medicine and gives hope that we can be united by one ideal. It connects us and can protect us. And I've witnessed its power to heal. Rhythm is a universal language, the dialogue its ultimate goal. Our instruments are just the go-between in touching one another's soul. Compassion, wisdom, faith, courage, and passion, all qualities that help us to support and heal. These are the things that make the listener care. And these things, globally speaking, we all need. I don't just play the drum. I am the drums. We've become one. And in simpler terms, whether a girl or a boy, playing drums is fun. But a woman on the drums promotes equality, harmony, and balance. Are you feeling it? Though this points past gender, ethnicity, or social background, her inner drummer may struggle before conquering the challenge. Yes, the creative platform offers a plethora of possibilities, large and small. We can play music with people we don't even like. We can elevate them or catch them if they fall. And studying music may teach us in theory what's right or what's wrong. But what's critical is our connection to others and the intention of our song. Control, space, dynamics, power and articulation. So it is with life and music. There is no separation. Carl Jung explained the anima and the animus, where man and woman can merge. Duke Ellington said, the drum is a woman, and her voice shall be heard.
All right, I'll stop the video there. I think that's very cool. That's her original poem, I Am the Drums, and she's leading this group of young students and improvising around the poem. I really love this. In 2013, Ms. Carrington received the honorary doctorate from the Berklee College of Music, I mentioned, and she was appointed a professor at the college in 2015, where she currently serves as the founder and artistic director of the Berklee Institute of Jazz and Gender Justice, which recruits, teaches, mentors, and advocates for musicians seeking to study jazz with racial justice and gender justice as guiding principles. And it's such an important topic. I think I've mentioned before that jazz not just being a style of music that we can look back in the past and play old standards and see what, you know, the cats were doing back then, but the music serves to follow culture in every single moment. So what is happening today in your surroundings and what we are going through in your today, yesterday, and tomorrow is what jazz is and should speak to as well. Do we pay tribute to the past? Yes. But do we look to the future, and do people listen to you to listen for the future? Absolutely. So here is a group of women that she put together, the Berklee Institute of Jazz and Gender Justice, including Linda O on bass, Tia Fuller on saxophone, Melina on flugelhorn, and Chris Davis on the drums. Here's a little bit of this performance from their performance at Berklee for this inauguration of the Jazz and Gender Justice Program. Let me turn the volume up. That would be advised. This is a tune by Esperanza Spalding. going to fast forward. Okay, I'll stop it there. I want to paraphrase a quote. It was an interview around this jazz and gender justice program where she said, when I play, when I'm performing, I play from a place of love or hate, which may be different from your love or hate and your experience with something. And so this section of the song, where it really is very angular and it seems somewhat angry, or just it's very powerful and moving. We don't know their experience, but they're sharing that with us. But what we listen to and what we hear, it's ours to experience and to turn that into something that we feel is powerful. And I love the name of this tune, If That's True. It's an Esperanto tune. And she often does these with her titles as a composer, where she it makes you kind of question, what is this tune? Being many of them without lyrics. Some of them are. Okay, we'll move forward. Speaking of Esperanza, here's a performance at the Solidarity of Arts in 2014, a really large festival in Poland. Herbie's on piano, Leo Genovese on piano as well. He's more on synthesizer, actually. Esperanza playing bass and singing, Wayne Shorter on the saxophone, and Terry Lynn Carrington on the drums. Really a super group of musicians. And, you know, oftentimes supergroups don't always work. You put the best of the best together, it's like an all-star game. It doesn't, you know, you have to have musicians that play together for so long. These musicians have. They have played together for many, many years and in different configurations. So this is kind of like a super group that actually functions. And I do want to say that Ms. Carrington was named Jazz Times Critics Poll Artist of the Year, Jazz Artist of the Year by Boston Globe, and the Jazz Musician of the Year by the Jazz Journalist Association. I think that's super cool. And gives her every right to be in the forefront of this band. I'll kind of skip through this as well. Skip forward a little bit.
Mm-hmm. the sky. Its expanse fills our eyes. How it is possible. Wonders of earth, mountain peaks, thunder surf, baby boy, happy times, precious joys.
I'll stop it there. Again, the playing is at such a high level, and their interaction is pretty incredible that they landed at this place together that includes vocals. And before that, it's just very loose and open over some vamp or just kind of going where it wants to go. So for any musicians who are watching and listening and saying, oh, this doesn't sound like what a standard would be, where you play the melody and then you solo in the form, that is just one version of playing jazz and improvising. This is another place of improvisation. It's free improvisation. It could have been over a theme. There could have been chord changes. They could have gone in a different direction. They could have decided, let's not plan this at all. But the biggest thing across the jazz genre and thing that I'm hearing through Terry Lynn's career is the biggest ears of all. The biggest ears that you can have. And Terry Lynn has that. All right, some essential listening and viewing. I know we've viewed some, but there are some essentials that I think are really important, and I think she would as well. And that includes her band Social Science, and the record Social Science from 2019. It incorporates some more modern music, kind of crossing into the hip-hop genre, including soul music and funk music. And cross-genre collaborations with electronic DJ and somebody who's doing kind of just effects, different vocalists, rappers, singers. So I'm going to go ahead and skip, see if I can get to that song. Yeah, here it is.
Church bells signaling yet another unjustifiable death.
You took my love away from me.
Ladies sing loudly, church bells ring loudly, bullets blurring loudly, deferring dreams like your homie, it ain't no thing, proudly. Another brother slain in vain in the name of justice. When you got that melanin, doesn't justice always feel like just them? It seems the
only time we've been a friend to the system is that one time our OJ contained a little shot of Johnny.
Cool. I'll stop it there. This is a really wonderful performance from NPR's Tiny Desk Concert, and it incorporates cross-genre everything. Terry Lynn composing and on the drums. My mistake is that the band's name is it's Terry Lynn Carrington and Social Science. The name from this record is called Waiting Game. I'll have to fix that on our upcoming slide. I'll fix it on the slide here. So, Ms. Carrington, as a side musician, has been on over 150 records. I don't know the exact number. I've just tried to look on jazz discos and discographies and even through, you know, different sites. There's so many that I'm only going to list the ones that I really know, which apparently I didn't know the name of Social Science's Waiting Game. But as the newest one, going back, she had a record from a few years ago called Money Jungle, which kind of relooks at a Duke Ellington record and redoes those songs, but in a modern day inspiration. She has a band called The Mosaic, featuring all women musicians and composers, and her debut record, which is called A Real Life Story. This is just the ones that I really know and enjoy. And she has so many more under her own name as a leader and co-leader, and she's been featured as a side musician on so many records, including, you know, Esperanza Spalding and Herbie and Wayne Shorter as well. Just all of the really, really greats. I want to say that my takeaway for Lynn, for Terry Lynn Carrington, is that she really is a big voice in the music community, not just in the jazz community, but across genres. She's been there and been very supportive. She makes really honest music, and I think that's really the most powerful thing that you can do, is that she leaves behind, not only is she a wonderful and really high performer, but she is a really good person, and that really speaks through in her music. And she's been a fantastic advocate, but also educator as well. And she's very outspoken across many topics in social, economical, political divides. And you're more than welcome to look and see and find and hear more about what she wants to speak of. I encourage you to listen to her records and see how they make you feel. Read her liner notes and see how it makes her feel. Because that's what musicians have been doing for years. It's not just I learned to play and now I play and you listen, but I play for a reason. It's not for money. It's not for fame. And as she said this on an interview, I don't do this for money or fame. I do this because it's a calling. And I think a lot of musicians that you may enjoy yourself or that you love do this as a calling. But what I love about Terry Lynn Carrington is that this is her calling, is playing music and advocating for those that do not have a voice. And that's all I have for today on Miss Terry Lynn Carrington. There's so much material out there, and I do hope that you check it out. If you have any questions, you're more than welcome to reach out to me as well. Thank you again to everyone at the Clearwater Jazz Holiday Foundation and the Young Lions Jazz Master Sessions. I'm Mark Feynman. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
What a great session, Mark. I don't see any questions currently in the chat, so we're going to kind of conclude here. But I want to say thank you for just another wonderful, wonderful session. I'm really excited to add Terry Lynn Carrington to our What I Love About series in the studio. And we're excited to have you back with us with your colleagues from La Lucha on February 1st for a session called How, When, and Why to Release an Album, which yes. is something you just went through a couple times, actually. And I know we'll have some great things to share with us. And you'll be back individually on February the 16th. And the topic for that date is, let's see, is it February 16th? No, it's February 15th. You'll be back with La Lucha, How to Be a Band.
Yes.
And that's going to be a cool one. I'm excited for that. And I think, I know you have another individual session sometime in February, but I can't seem to find it in my notes here.
I can't remember either. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh, here it is. Here it is. February 8th.
You're up on the website, I'm sure.
Yeah, February 8th, Exploring Creativity and Artistic Growth.
Yeah. Yes, this is an artistic one rather than something about one person. It's about the self and our involvement to creativity.
Yeah, so that's going to be great. And in addition to these sessions with Mark and La Lucha, there's a lot of other wonderful participating musicians and educators. So please check out the upcoming sessions at clearwaterjazz.com's education outreach section. After these live sessions, they're recorded. Videos are archived in the studio and the audio segments up on the Young Lions podcast. So check them out and keep playing out there, everybody. Keep being creative. Be safe, be well, and we'll see you back with us hopefully real soon. And Mark, can't thank you enough, man. See you next time.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Clearwater Jazz Holidays Young Lions Jazz Master Virtual Sessions. Thank you to our friends at Marine Max Clearwater for helping to present this podcast series. To learn more about the Clearwater Jazz Holiday Annual Festival tradition, other special events throughout the year, and our year-round education and outreach, please visit clearwaterjazz.com.